Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello there. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Lavender Fix podcast. I'm your host, Sabrine Hazik, and we are here again. And you're here again. And guess what? Winter is here again in Boston, Mass., which is absolutely crazy. In fact, it snowed last Friday and it totally caught me by surprise, and I am currently going bonkers. Although because Christmas is my most favorite holiday of the year, snow really does add to the festivity, so I'm trying to put a positive spin on it somehow. And yeah, I don't mind the beautiful silver glitter like snow. Speaking of silver glitter, brings me to my next guest, Karen Phillips, who is a total diva, a transracial adoptive mom, and an incredible yoga instructor, a skincare fanatic, and a silver hair ambassador and influencer based in Tennessee. Karen is a huge proponent of healthy living, and her Instagram profile is a total treat for the eyes. With every single caption thoughtfully written out, you can't not follow her. Karen noticed the premature graying of her hair in her early 20s, and by her mid-20s, around the age of 25, she was 50% gray. So, why did Karen decide to go dye-free? Stay tuned to find out. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the Lavender Fix. How are you doing today?
Hey, Sabrine. I'm doing so great. How are you?
I wasn't doing so well before I got in this call, but now I am totally fine. That's the effect you have on me, my friend.
Oh, you are so sweet. And I just thank you so much for having me and letting me share a little bit about my health journey and how my journey to gray plays into that.
Yeah, of course. And I have like a bazillion questions for you, so I hope you're ready.
Absolutely. Bring them on.
Awesome. Okay. So, Karen, I mentioned in my introduction that, you know, you first started noticing the premature graying of your hair sometime in your early 20s. And we all know firsthand how self-critical women are around that age, right? So what was it like for you?
Yes. So I did start noticing them in my early 20s, and I guess I wasn't completely shocked. We have some pretty strong white hair genetics in my dad's side of the family. But definitely just, you know, with my acceptance of the cultural norm at that time, I just had a compulsion to get rid of them. So, you know, as soon as I started finding them, I just would pluck them out. That was,
ouch.
You know, I didn't have enough at that time to have to dye them, but I just plucked them.
Yeah. And were you ever made to feel like super conscious about your silvers by, you know, friends or family members before you decided to finally ditch the dye or go dye free? And if yes, what was your response to some of those comments?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think because I also bought into kind of the beauty rules at that time, you know, I felt self-conscious of them. So I don't know that anybody specifically made me feel that way, but it was just kind of, you know, in my mind that when they come, it's time to hide them and you have to get rid of them. So that's just kind of where my mindset was at the time.
Yeah. And when did your tryst with hair dyes really start? You know, and who, like, I have a bunch of questions for you, which is, when did your tryst with hair dyes really start? Who prompted you to start? And was your decision to hide your grays rooted in fear and shame?
So, yeah, by the time I was in my mid-20s, I had a significant amount of gray. So I started dyeing my hair regularly. My stylist at that time just indicated that I had about 50% gray. And so her statement to me was, you know, it was time. So I didn't really question it at that time. I would say I really didn't realize at the time But my decision was definitely rooted in shame. It was just this, you know, you felt like this need to hide and cover what was naturally there. So wasn't necessarily something I ever did out of enjoyment. It was just to cover and hide the gray and to kind of stay looking young, right?
So one quick question, when your head dresser, when she said to you that it was time, did that spark any sort of emotion in that moment for you?
You know, it's funny because I don't remember it sparking an emotion, but I remember the interaction really well. Like it stands out in my mind, like where I was sitting, what room I was in, how that interaction went down. And so I guess it did have an emotional impact on me, even though maybe I didn't realize it at the time. But obviously it was, you know, an interaction that I remember very well. And it was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this and this is what my life is going to be. So.
Right. Okay, so and when did you finally decide to go dye-free, and what was the driving force behind it, you know, that decision? And just a quick note, I also remember that, you know, you shared a very precious Florida Beach episode with me in our Discovery Connect. And I'd love to know more about, you know, that sunny afternoon conversation you had with your son and how that had an impact on you moving forward with that decision.
Yeah. So it was the fall of 2018 when I really finally made this decision. I had been on a pretty significant health journey since about 2016. So in my early 40s, I really had a wake-up call and decided to change some mindsets and habits and lifestyle things. And I had cleaned up my nutrition and my body and skincare products. Had really been learning a lot about growth mindset and letting go of perfectionistic tendencies. So really my desire to ditch the dye was really rooted in my desire to live healthfully. So it was kind of just another extension of that health journey I had been on for a couple of years. I was getting really worried about the toxins, and I also just was at this point of life of wanting to, you know, age gracefully and really embrace and love myself, you know, as I was. So on this trip we took to the beach that fall, it was in my mind. I had really been thinking it over. I had just dyed my hair for the last, or I didn't know it was the last time, but a few weeks before this trip, but I had not told anybody that I was thinking about stopping. And but I had canceled my appointment to get my roots dyed right before this trip. And so my youngest son and I had gone out for a little walk. There was like a bridge outside of our condo, and the sun was shining on my hair, and you could see, you know, my little probably half inch of silver roots showing. And he looked up at me and he said, "Mom, you have gray hair." Like, you know, he didn't even know.
Yeah, because you were dying them.
That's not, I did a pretty good job of keeping it hidden. And I said, "Yes, buddy, I do." And he just looked up at me and smiled and he said, "You should keep it that way." Aww. And it was just like this little, just that little nudge that I needed, you know, that like a little sign to be like, yeah, you know, you are on the right path. And you know, he's a little child and he's saying, you know, you should embrace yourself. And I think kids have a lot of wisdom. So
absolutely.
It was, it just kind of felt like that little push that I needed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sorry, go for it.
No, I just, and that was part of, you know, I had a little bit of a nagging worry about what my children or what my husband would think, and that was just again like a little sign of like, wait, your kids might actually be okay with it, and they might support you. And so it was a gift for sure.
And so, like, I'm pretty sure that, you know, over the years, you know, friends, maybe some of the well-wishers, said the same thing to you, and I'm not sure they did, but I'm making an assumption here. What was it about that particular conversation with your son that finally convinced you to go for it after all these years? Was there anything in particular?
Well, again, it was just so sweet, and it was like, you know, I want my children to love and embrace themselves just like they are, and encourage them to do that. And so, you know, it was just sort of like him saying to me, you know, you need, and I know he wasn't thinking this deep about it, but, you know, yeah. You need to love and embrace yourself just like you would want us to.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. Like, coming from a child, I think we all need that reminder from time to time. We all do.
Right?
Yeah.
I think so, too. It was really, really a sweet moment.
Yeah. So when you finally decided to, you know, take that road to go dive free, how did your family members and friends respond to this decision?
Well, when I made the decision, I actually kept it pretty private. For me, this is just kind of what worked, but I really wanted to get to the root of why I wanted to do it and make sure that I was doing what felt true to me. I really wanted to just talk to my immediate family, so my husband, my children, and I don't know if for other people this would be the case, but for me, anytime you're going against a cultural norm, I don't like to ask for a lot of input from a lot of people.
Sure.
Because I don't want it to sway my opinion.
Yes.
I want to
Very
make sure
smart.
I'm doing what's right for me.
Yeah. Very smart, well, I would say.
Yeah. You know, our tendency is going to be to just kind of like spew out whatever that cultural norm is. Oh, no, you're too young or you shouldn't do that. But I really needed to do what was right for me. So honestly, by the time I was having these encounters with friends or family outside of my immediate family, it was more of me just saying, hey, this is what I'm doing, and this is why I'm doing it. So I guess I didn't leave a lot of room for other people's opinions or advice. I mean, not that I didn't get that sometimes. But, I think most people, at least to my face, were very positive about it and encouraging, or just, you know, didn't say anything. And thankfully, you know, my immediate family was all very supportive, so...
That's awesome. And what about your what about your hairdresser?
Well,
yes.
So I was kind of in between hairdressers. So I had canceled that color appointment. I had been going to a salon that had a dye that was supposed to be kind of pure and natural, and so I had chosen to go there for that specific dye. I had, like I said, been on this health journey, so I was trying to use things that, you know, were more natural or organic or whatever. What I found out later is, you know, there have to be certain chemicals involved, especially in a dark hair dye, for it to work, especially at my level of gray. So anyway, I was kind of going to that salon just for that hair color, but I was a little bit in between thinking I was just going to try to find somebody new that could help me in this process. So at that point, I didn't really have a hairdresser to talk to about it.
Right. So that's
yet. That was coming.
Yeah. No, and I would say that's probably like a good thing that you didn't have that added pressure of now breaking the news to your hairdresser and then waiting for them to react or, you know. But you had shared with me, and you actually just said it, that, you know, people often said to you that, oh my God, you're too young for that. And that you, and I know you mentioned that people would often say that you and your daughter, you know, looked very close in age when you had dark hair, and that you were giving up on receiving those, you know, compliments. So everyone clearly had opinions about your hair, the way you were covering them up, or your decision to finally stop covering your grays. I also remember you saying that it's not a virtue to be young. I'm lucky to be my age. So talk to me a little bit more about your feelings about this specific subject matter of, you know, the color of a person's hair being associated with their age.
Right. Well, I just started to find it really interesting when people would say I was too young for that because, you know, I had started going gray in my early 20s. So it just didn't really line up in my mind that I could be too young for something that was natural to my body in my early 20s. So, you know, I think this is just very much a cultural thing. And I think what people are actually saying is you're too young to expose that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, usually we don't see someone until they're much older exposing that they have gray, but actually it's really normal for people, maybe even in their teens, definitely in their 20s, to have gray hair. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just a lot of times hiding it. So I had, you know, been a little bit hung up on the fact that people would say, you know, my daughter and I look like sisters, and that was a hang-up for me, for sure, that I was working through as I was kind of trying to decide.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of came to terms with, you know, I was going to have to let that go if I was going to do this. But then as I started questioning, you know, why am I so hung up on that?
Yeah.
It really kind of came to mind that I didn't want to hold to that so tightly, this notion of looking young or fitting into this narrow view of beauty, because it's not a virtue, you know, someone telling me I look young. I mean, I would rather them tell me I'm kind and loving. And so I just kind of came to terms with, I'm really grateful to be the age that I am. You know, I consider it a privilege. Every trip I get around the sun, you know, I'm grateful for, because some people don't get that privilege. And so I just wanted to let go of that, you know, desire that I had to look young.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, I think it is ingrained in our brains right from the start, you know, that the kind of compliments I've noticed that even little girls get from their teachers are, oh my God, you look pretty cute. And like, when you look at them giving compliments to boys, like little boys, smart, strong, bright. And
right,
I just
feel
like, and that, it's that thinking that, you know, spills over or bleeds into our adulthood. And I think it's beautiful.
From a very young age.
Yeah, for you, it's very beautiful for you to say that I'm very lucky to be my age. Not many people truly embrace the process of aging, and we all are aging. Like, if you're 16 and now you're 20, you have aged.
Yeah.
It's a natural process.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
and
now,
if we don't age, that means we're not here living. And
yeah. So, what's the point of life,
you know,
then,
I
right?
I want to embrace that.
Exactly. So, Karen, you had shared with me that, you know, you had backed out of your first attempt because someone had left a very snide remark or a comment, or, you know, that you perceived as negative at the time. What was the comment and how did that make you feel?
Yeah. So back in 2015, so this is before my health journey, before anything like that, I kind of just, I guess I was already thinking about it at that time, but I kind of just haphazardly did it. I just didn't dye my hair for a few months, but I didn't put a lot of thought into it. I thought I would just kind of give it a try. And I was actually at our local pool when the conversation came up with another mom, and she just said, well, why on earth would you want to do that? You know, in that tone of like, it's such a negative thing to do. Why would you make that decision? And, you know, it really affected me at that time. And I pretty much went and dyed my hair pretty soon after that. You know, I was just like, okay, this is not a good idea. But it actually, you know, it felt negative at that time, but now looking back, that was such a gift, and it was the best question anyone could have asked me, because it really set me up to be able to go into my journey the second time, really thinking about why I wanted to do it. And that was just, that really affected me, because I thought, okay, in order to do this, I need to know why. I need to be able to answer that question, if not for anybody else, but for myself. So you know, it didn't feel great in that moment, but it ended up really being a gift that she asked me that question. Mm-hmm.
Karen, what I love about you is that you somehow are able to look at things that most of us would perceive as, oh my God, that was so rude or negative. And you're able to put a positive spin on it, which is a very rare, you know, quality, in my personal opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah, not everyone is able to do that. You know, we're very quick to fall into a disarray when someone says something mean, or we automatically develop this notion about how they are as people. Right. And I think you have that quality, and I hope that I can learn from you in that aspect. Mm. Yeah, really.
Thank you. That really means a lot to me.
Of course.
Well, you know, Sabrina, I honestly did not always have that quality. I mean, I really think, you know, when I talk about this health journey that I went on, most of that journey was, you know, learning about a growth mindset and you know, letting go of perfectionism. And a lot of that has to do with reframing these things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely not something I was always good at, and I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. But reframing things has really helped me over the last few years, for sure.
Right. Okay, so now fast forward, which is... I really want you to tell me about the stranger you met at Starbucks who helped play a really big role in your transition.
Yes, I would love to tell you about Chelsea. So my daughter and I had gone into Starbucks one day, just like, you know, a normal day, and an acquaintance of mine was in there, and she works for a local magazine. And she was having a meeting with this young woman. And so, because I knew her, she introduced me to the young woman that she was talking with. Mm-hmm. Well, it happened to be Chelsea, and she was moving to town, opening up a salon here, and wanted to put an ad in the magazine to get the word out. Mm-hmm. And so it turns out that Chelsea is this really amazing and talented hairstylist, and I didn't know at that moment that I was, you know, looking for her. Mm-hmm. But just that brief interaction with her that day, she just had the sweetest spirit, and I just felt like I connected with her just as a human being. And then as I kind of started thinking about the idea of going gray, she just kept coming to mind. And so I checked her out on Instagram a little bit and saw how talented she was, and thought, maybe this is my person. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of reached out to her and asked her if she would help me go gray gracefully. And it just turned into this beautiful friendship and relationship. And she was totally on board and supportive from the get-go. And so I had found my person.
Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that she's the same person who gave you your final haircut. Which brings me to my next question, which is, how long did it eventually take for you to fully transition to gray with her help? And what did you feel in that exact moment when you got your final haircut?
Well, so it took me 2 years almost to the day. Mm-hmm. Just the way that I did it. So I did it cold turkey, which means I just stopped dyeing my hair. You know, you can finish quicker or it could take longer, but for me, it took 2 years kind of keeping my hair at like a medium to short length. Mm-hmm. But actually my final haircut was just a few weeks ago, and yes, it was with Chelsea, and it was just completely full circle moment. It was so liberating. It just, all I kept saying to everyone when I left there was, I feel happy, light, and free. It was just the best feeling to go into something scared and nervous and unsure and not knowing how it's going to all play out. And then 2 years later to have completed something that you wanted so badly. And it was a really good feeling.
And is she still your hairdresser?
Absolutely. I will be with her forever, as long as I can get to her. Yep.
Oh. All right. So now let's talk about your Instagram, my friend. You started posting on, and yes, I scrolled all the way to your first post. And I was like, oh my God, she's going to read this and she's going to be like so creeped out. How long did you spend?
Not at all.
But you started posting on.
You had to vet me out.
Yeah, like facts, right? Like I had to pull some smart facts in. Yeah. So you started posting on December 17th, 2018. And your first post talked about your decision to document your journey, you know, towards health and wellness in all areas of your life. You also talked about how your decision to go dietary was, in fact, influenced by many layers of inner monologues with yourself, right? So what prompted you to start your channel?
Yeah. Well, a few things I went into it, but I really did want to share this health journey that I had been on. I really hoped that maybe someday, in some capacity, I could inspire someone that like others had done for me. And I had a few people that really inspired me. And I just thought it would bring me so much joy if I could inspire someone else. I also just wanted to use it as a way to document my journey. And I really also wanted to kind of create my own narrative around my journey. And I was hoping that I could do my part to help shift the narrative a little bit about gray hair and you know, maybe to normalize what is actually normal. So,
which is like Karen, if you think about it, I went to a salon, I paid like $200 to bleach my hair and to dye it. And people have so many nice things to say about it. But when someone is going through that process naturally, it is not considered. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so ironic.
It's not perceived the same. I know. It is ironic.
Yeah. And Karen,
I have had several people say, well, along the way, a lot of people would ask me if I colored it that way, you know, when it got to that kind of grand bray look. But then some people will say, oh, do you have highlights? Or, you know, you have these free, people pay big money for that. So I hear all kinds of things.
Yeah. And I noticed particularly that over the past 2 years, your videos have received, I mean, your posts have too, but like your video posts, they've received a lot of attention. And in most of these videos, what you're doing is you're basically combing through your roots and you're showing your progress, right? I noticed that trend. In fact, on May 24th, another fact, 2019.
Yes, I love it.
On May 24th, 2019, you posted a progress video 32 weeks into your journey, and it received 35,000 views. How did that make you feel? And what was it like every time you noticed more new growth, like hair-wise?
Well, that was really one of the reasons I started taking these monthly videos was to, you know, show the growth. And, you know, it was good for me to see the growth because sometimes in those early months, it feels like it's not growing, you know, it grows so slowly. But the videos kind of helped to show, okay, it is growing. But it did surprise me at the amount of attention that the videos got. Videos and lately reels have gotten so much attention. And it just surprised me because I'd never started this account with the idea that it was going to get a lot of attention or engagement. You know, I just hoped that maybe I would help somebody. But so it definitely surprised me. But I think a lot of us, as we're trying to decide if we want to do this, we kind of watch other people's journeys for a little while and kind of want to get an idea of what it might be like. And I think videos and reels kind of are just more engaging, and it kind of tells a story. And so I think maybe that's why they get more attention like that. I also just think it shows the level of curiosity that a lot of women have about this process. So, you know, I'm always grateful when people engage with my videos, but I think that's probably why, you know, it just sort of draws people in a little bit more.
And I think on top of everything, it is authenticity, right? You are willing to put yourself out there. You're not and in videos, you really can't like Photoshop, right? This is you.
You know, when I would see other people kind of going first, it kind of made me feel like I had permission to do this. And so that was part of me doing not just the videos, but, you know, when you show yourself kind of in a vulnerable state that most people think is sort of ugly or you know, what we're going for. I just think it kind of stops you in your tracks and you're like, okay, wait, what is she doing? Mm-hmm. But it meant a lot to me for others to do that. And that was part of why I wanted to do it too.
Mm-hmm. And have you connected with other Silver Sisters in your community on social?
Yes, so many. People, like women of all ages and all parts of the world. And that's one of my very favorite things.
That's amazing.
About this. It's a common denominator for women everywhere and something, you know, a lot of women think about. So it's really the best part of this journey is the community. The women are so supportive and encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I have made some, you know, really wonderful connections. So it's in my opinion, the best part.
Mm-hmm. And Karen, out of curiosity, I know Silver Sisters is like a community of women where you form connections mm-hmm. and you encourage one another. But are there do you think that a transition like this is easier for men compared to women in our society? And if yes, why and how?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I think no doubt there's a double standard when it comes to silver-haired men and silver-haired women. I mean, I will say I have heard some men that dye their hair and they stop and, you know, it's a bit of a journey for them as well. But I think for the most part, you know, men are admired and encouraged to embrace their silver hair. You know, they're distinguished and they're seen as wise and, you know, sexy and a silver fox.
Oh my God,
and,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Then it just goes and back more to that idea of.
And Karen, more intelligent.
Oh, yes.
You know, like grays are a sign of wisdom for men, but for women, they disappear. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happens there.
Well, and I've even heard certain men say they think it gives them a leg up, especially if they start graying early, because people actually, you know, trust them more and, you know, believe that they have some level of wisdom. So there's totally a double standard.
Yeah.
But we're working on changing that. So,
yeah. And then
hopefully we will see that happen.
And have men reached out to you ever?
About going gray?
Yeah.
Or just the creepers on
No. Creepers we all have. We all have those creepers.
Exactly.
Yeah. But in the sense that, hey, I'm planning to do this myself and I noticed that you were able to successfully.
No.
Not
oh one.
My God. Mm-mm. That is crazy. Mm-mm. Right? But I think there's also this level of shame associated with a man probably going to a woman, because just that's how our society is built, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, I was just curious.
That could have something to do with it. No, I haven't had anybody. Although I will say, I have noticed there are some Facebook groups for going gray, and sometimes there will be men in those groups.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they might make a post or ask questions, but nobody has directly come to me like that.
And what about the people who were not negative, but, you know, who weren't so sure about this adventure of yours, which was to truly embrace your gray hair. Do they see the light now? Do they ever come back to you and say, hey, Karen, actually, you know, I feel like I was wrong and this really looks smashing on you.
Yes, actually that has happened. And, you know, I've been really lucky that people for the most part have been so supportive, but anyone who wasn't initially on board really has come around. And I think it also really helped early on for me to express to those people why I was doing this. And that helped too when they realized, you know, I'm doing this for my health and you know, it just helps them to maybe understand, even if they didn't really.
Sure.
You know, if they weren't on board. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you?
But yes.
They have. I mean, that makes me really happy that people finally came back to you and said, huh, this looks amazing on you.
It's interesting. Because I think everybody just has this notion that they don't like it or we're not supposed to like it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, a lot more people, you know, I think like gray hair than we think. So. I don't know. It's been an interesting journey for sure.
Yeah. And do you have any regrets? And if you could turn time back, would you start sooner?
Mm-hmm. You know, I've thought about this a lot. Because sometimes I'll say, you know, I just wish I'd never dyed my hair. Or, you know, if I had known what I know now, I would have started sooner. But I try not to have regrets or focus on that because I just wasn't ready at that time, you know, and I have to just give myself a lot of grace for where I was then. And so, you know, I think that when I did it was the perfect time for me. I was ready and, you know, it's worked out okay. I had lessons to learn. So,
yeah. And in fact, I remember you saying that, you know, the more awkward you looked in your journey at each stage, the more confident you felt. And that's really powerful. Yeah. So why? What made you feel confident at each stage in your transition, Karen?
Yeah, that really did surprise me because I really expected early on that I was going to want to somehow try to mask that line of demarcation as my hair grew.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think I'd be able to, you know, walk around with my hair grown out like that. And, you know, it just surprised me that the further along I got, I really didn't have that desire to hide it or cover it. And early on I did. I mean, sometimes I would use root spray or a hat or a headband.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just did what you had to do to kind of get through the day and just take one step at a time. But it seemed like the more I owned and embraced my decision, I just kept growing in confidence, and I just didn't really feel the need to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the crazier my hair looked, the more confident I felt, which doesn't really add up. But it was just, I think at the root of it, it was just so freeing to be doing what I felt was right for me and not what beauty culture
tells you
me
to.
I needed to do.
And
so maybe that was at the root of it.
Yeah. But so I know that your friends and family, they were very supportive overall. But do you think that had they not supported your decision, do you think that you would have taken on this journey anyway?
Mm-hmm. That's a hard one to answer. I was really most concerned about my husband and my children because I did worry, you know, if any of them were negative about it, would it shake me? You know, would it make me not do it? Because I really felt in my heart of hearts that it was what was right for me. Thankfully, I didn't have to cross that bridge. They really all understood my decision. They had seen this health journey that I was on, and they knew that it was rooted in my desire to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all very supportive.
That's awesome.
So I don't really know for sure. Mm-hmm. I hope that I would have done it anyway. I really think that I would have.
Yeah.
But I'm really grateful that I didn't have that issue and had their support. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the major changes that you've noticed in your overall emotional health and your hair health since ditching the dye?
Mm-hmm. I've just noticed, you know, again, how liberating it's been, how confidence building it has been. And I think it just goes back to letting go of that underlying shame that was there that I didn't really even realize, you know, what it
existed,
was. Yeah. So, yeah, when I, you know, when you kind of got this low level of shame all the time and this constant need to hide what's natural for you, I didn't realize the effect that was having on me emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And also just letting go of what other people thought of me. That was, you know, a big deal at first. And letting go of that, I just think that's why it's felt so liberating and confidence building. And I think for my emotional health, it's been nothing but positive.
Sure.
And then my hair health has dramatically improved. I was having a lot of like burning and stinging from the dye. My hair was thinning. It had actually thinned to a level I didn't realize how much it had thinned. But now it has just grown back in these, I have these huge patches of new growth that are still happening 2 years later. And it's so much thicker and healthier. So for me, it was definitely the right decision. My skin, my hair did not take well to the dye. And, you know, I needed to break up with hair dye for sure.
And if you were to describe your journey and what it has taught you in one word, what would that be?
This is a hard one. A lot of words come to mind, but the thing that keeps popping out to me is just peace. I think when we really start to align our external choices with those internal values, we just experience so much more peace in our life. So for me, because I had those, that inner desire to be healthy, and I was still doing something on the outside that was causing me worry and, you know, wondering what kind of health effects this could have, you know, that wasn't in alignment. And so I didn't have peace about it. So I think that's the main thing, is just, for me, peace.
Yeah, no. Oh my God, I can't even imagine what that felt like for you, you know, like just finally reaching a level where you felt like, I don't have to worry about this anymore. I don't have to like put artificial stuff in my body. And
right.
No, that's pretty accurate. And I just looked at the clock and I'm like, we've been talking for like 42 minutes, which is actually, which is perfect because it brings me to my last question.
Perfect.
And I, first of all, like I was so happy, I'm so happy that I was able to do this with you. And this last section is really all about, you know, sharing the wisdom, right? And I have decided to call it Spill the Sauce as of yesterday.
I love it.
So, Karen, what advice do you have for individuals who are in their transition journey right now or are trying to take that first step to going dye-free?
Yeah. So I think I have a few common things that help me, and I think they apply no matter what journey you want to undertake. But some things that really helped me were these things. So my first piece of advice would be this. Think about your why. So why are you dyeing your hair? And evaluate if your reasons are healthy or not. So for me, I determined, you know, fear and shame and hiding were not healthy reasons. And then also come up with a strong why for why you want to stop. So that will really give you something to hold on to, because there will be tough days. And if you have that strong why and it's really important to you, you'll be able to hold on to that. My second advice would be this. Just speak kindly to yourself. Work on silencing that inner critic. In the stories you tell yourself regularly, really think about that inner dialogue and treat yourself like you would a friend. It's a really important thing for me. That was a little bit hard for me to learn, but it really helped. And then my last piece of advice would be this. Do things scared and be willing to venture outside of your comfort zone. This is really where that internal growth really happens. So for me, those things have made a huge difference.
So three pieces of advice that I can even apply to myself, honestly, Karen. And I think that's the beauty of this segment, is these are doable things that you can apply right away to your life and you can run with it.
This is not for everybody, and I recognize that. And that's why I love that you called it, you know, pro-gray, not anti-dye. So this is a very personal thing. I'm not saying everyone should do this, but everyone can go on some sort of growth journey. And, you know, that's what my hope, and I have a lot of people say that to me, is, you know, they may follow me and gray hair is not their thing, that they still can maybe get something out of,
absolutely,
my experiences and the things that I share. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Karen, thank you. So much for joining me today. I'm so highly grateful to you, and I hope that you continue to inspire more people around you in their journey to truly embracing their silvers. And I would also like to take a moment here to give a huge shout out to all our listeners for tuning in. And as always, I will see you guys next week. Till then, chin up. Yeah.